Like to call the Board of Directors meeting to order for January 14th, 2009 for the Oceano Community Service District. Roll call, please.
President Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Director Dean?
Here.
Director Lucy?
Here.
Please stand and join me in the flag salute, please. Of interest within the jurisdiction of this board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes. Any comments from the public? Hearing none. Board member items for discussions. Pamela?
I have none.
Jim?
None.
Vern?
No.
Mary?
No.
Good. Item five on the agenda is the review of the minutes. Because of the workload over the last two and a half months, these minutes have not been transcribed yet, but the discs are available in our office. If anybody wants to review them, they come in and look at them in the office. And at a later date, the minutes will be transcribed, action items and votes will be transcribed.
President?
Yes.
Your microphone is that on?
No.
I didn't do it this time.
Okay, say your question again.
So are you saying that the DVD recordings will be supplemented as the written minutes?
They will be available if somebody wants to look at them now. At a later date, they will be transcribed for action item and votes only. You just have to come in and make an appointment, Kevin, or just come in to see them.
I thought we were going to refer them to recording people where they can be.
No, they can't be taken out of OCSD, but they can come here and look at them.
Yeah, call and make an arrangement.
Okay. If our general manager isn't here, you could speak to Gina.
Could we have those DVDs submitted into the record as the formal minutes instead of having to go back and clean it up? Just
I'll have to ask legal counsel because I don't know the answer.
Okay, I'm just trying to think. It might be just easier to do that.
Well, the minutes are a public record, and the DVDs are a public record. People are entitled to look at them. Of course, until the minutes are prepared, All they are is notes. So you can provide copies. You can make them available to people, but I don't think you want to let them get out of your custody.
No, that was, I think.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Commander Brian Haskell, Sheriff's Department, South Station. There's a few items to talk about this evening. As most of you probably know by now, on January 7th at about 5:08 in the morning, we had a homicide over at the Pismo State Beach Golf Course just off of Grand Avenue, the south end of Grand Avenue towards the ocean access. A gentleman was stabbed to death named Roman Bickford. That, through some timely investigation and work by our detective bureau and some of the members of my station, gentleman... Sorry, let me find his name here. I grabbed the wrong press release. Too many press releases. Michael Scott Riccio was actually charged with the homicide yesterday. He was initially arrested for a drug violation and making some terrorist threats. And after some more follow-up investigation, they were able to charge him with the homicide. So that worked out very well. Also, we're still wrapping up some of the loose ends in that investigation. So we're asking anybody that knows anything, saw anything, witnessed anything, to please call our detective bureau. Their phone number is 781-4500, and detective would like to talk to them and get a statement from them about this case so it can be properly prosecuted. Aside from that case, we have had several thefts of, believe it or not, vehicle parts from vehicles. One occurred in the 300 block of Utah Street. Taillights were stolen from a PT Cruiser on January 1st. And then on the same date, 400 block of Pier Avenue, a trailer light connector and vehicle light tab were stolen off the back of a trailer there. So somebody's running around collecting vehicle parts. So if anybody knows anything about that, we'd like a call at the station. We've also had, unfortunately, as I've said many times before, as the economy worsens, crime seems to increase, and we've had an increase in the number of vehicle burglaries so that they don't become a tempting target for a thief in the area. The other incident that we had was today, actually. About 4 o'clock this afternoon, I had one of my deputies respond over in front of the post office on Beach Street to a fight in progress. When he responded, one of the subjects, who was extremely intoxicated, turned around and attacked him. We had to call for some backup for him, and I, myself and my sergeant went over from the station. We were able to subdue the subject, and he and his apparently brother both went to jail for battery and for public intoxication. And I also wanted to, at this point, say thank you very much to Captain Angelo for his assistance on that call, because we did have some medical aid that was needed for the subject. So we really very much appreciated that help. And with that, if anybody has any questions.
Any questions from the board? Does the public have any questions? Well, thank you very much, Commander.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to have a presentation from Officer Pedro Arroyo from the County Probation Department. Welcome.
Thank you, board members. My name is Officer Arroyo, and I work with the Juvenile Probation Department here in our county. I won't take too much of your time tonight. It's nice to follow the update by Commander Haskell. Bring you a little bit of good news in terms of one of the intervention programs, several intervention programs that the Juvenile Probation Department has just started targeting gang involvement. But what we decided to do is looking at the amount of gang activity, in particular in the north part and south part of the county, is we decided to put together a program that would target young kids between the ages of 12 to 15 who have been deemed to kind of be at risk for gang involvement and other types of delinquent activities. And through the length of about a year process of visiting model programs and designing our intervention, we recently launched this program, which is called the Youth in Action Program. It's a program that is sponsored by the Probation Department. It's a collaboration between our department and the Lucia Mara School District. Just some really basic, as we do kind of an inventory of some of the needs that some of our kids are having. We're finding that a lot of the kids that are at risk for this type of behavior are missing just some really basic and essential social skills, like learning how to deal with anger, how to communicate effectively, how to make decisions, and we, amongst other skills that we're going to be teaching them. And we purposely made a decision that we were not going to focus on giving kids or teaching kids the way that gangs, kind of gang culture and the way that gangs work, just simply because we don't want to teach kids to become more sophisticated in the way that that gangs operate, but rather focusing on building some positive skills that kids can learn within a classroom setting, and then also be encouraged to practice out in the community. Currently, there are 24 young boys. We're mainly targeting boys now. There is a plan in the future to be able to target some young girls from our community. But for now, we're serving 24 boys, half which attend Oceano Elementary, and the other half attend Judkins Middle School. And so they will be participating in a 20-week a long program where we focus on these skills. We also have included a community service component where some of these kids will be able to come in this community, in the community that they live, and be able to positively contribute to the place where they live. We're also going to be engaging in some positive activities like recreational activities, field trips, where the kids can have positive experiences with obviously without drugs and alcohol, considering that some of our kids that we have identified also come from homes where we know either parent or family members or older brothers or sisters have significant substance abuse issues. So wanted to share the program with you. I brought some pamphlets that I can leave with you, and I'd be more than glad to take any questions that your board may have.
Are there any questions from the board? Any questions from the public?
Program for at-risk boys who were at risk for teen pregnancy. Believe it or not,
boys that have gotten knocked up, but that's okay.
Well, but they definitely play a significant role in teen pregnancy. So targeting those kids up in the North County. So I have that experience. I basically oversaw the program, both the administrative and then the classroom instruction. And then currently I've been with the probation department for 3 years. My first assignment was supervised a caseload of actively involved gang wards of the court in the South County. I also worked with wards in the community school, and I've been heading this effort for a year, and I'm three classes away from finishing a master's in counseling and guidance at Cal Poly. So I've been working with at-risk kids for 15 years.
12 and 15 years, you're a little late in working with kids who are at really high risk. Or is this kids who are just at moderate risk? Or are these kids who are from multi-generational families who have lived in poverty? I mean, because your target population is so, so narrow. First of all, it's only 24, right? Mm-hmm. Secondly, you're looking at between 12 and 15-year-olds. 12-year-olds are already sexually active. 15-year-olds have already got somebody knocked up. So to intervene with about abstinence when drugs and alcohol and gang activity, I'm not quite sure you understand the population as well as the community does. And then secondly, I want to ask, are you working with any community liaisons? Because, you know, you said you don't want to teach the kids things, but I think the kids have a lot to teach you. And so by having a liaison from the community, it brings you a tie-in with who the kids are.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and answer the first question, because I think there were multiple questions that
and
you
I
asked.
I just tried to get those out quick so Barbara didn't think I was wasting time.
No. And I think your questions are very valid, and I'm going to try to answer them in the best way that I can. Okay. Well, the first thing that we did in designing this program, we actually looked at established factors that, you know, things that we know contribute to not only that we're targeting. So one of the things that we did is we wanted to look at the kids that are in our program. One of the requirements is that they cannot have any, they have no involvement with the juvenile justice system. So they're not on probation, they're not on diversion, and they've had no contact with law enforcement. We're also working with a highly regarded clinical psychologist from Cal Poly. Her name is Dr. Caldwell, and what she's actually done is she's developed a very rigorous screening process to make sure that we are targeting the kids who are most at risk. And in addition, we also made sure that in our screening process that as we interviewed kids, we also did a background check on the families and on siblings, of the kids to see if any of these youth had either parents, brothers, sisters, cousins who have had some sort of involvement with the juvenile justice system. And what we found is that over half of the kids that are in our program have had interaction within our system. So we wanted to make sure that, first of all, the kids weren't improperly labeled, because we don't want to label kids. And when we look at kind of best practices, when you look at what the established literature says in terms of how you run a gang prevention program, is rule number one is that you never give kids information that they don't need to have in terms of how gangs function, because of where kids are developmentally, sometimes they also tend to glorify things, and we don't need them to glorify any sort of violence. Definitely the issues of gangs will come up, because kids are very aware about what's happening in the community, and I agree with you. Kids do have a lot to teach and to share, and I definitely have a very open and apt ear to that. So I hope that answers your question. So, you know, we made sure that we were not going to run a program that was kind of based on what felt good, but we were going to run a program that was based on what we know has been proven to work, that's based on the literature, that's been based on research.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Any other questions?
Question about,
yes, ma'am,
follow-up and tracking the kids, mm-hmm, afterwards. How are you doing that?
Yeah, what we'd like to do is the kids will run through and see where they're at. I think another one of the things that we're also going to do is it's a pilot program, and I'm the only staff member that's doing it, and that's why we decided to only go with 20. I mean, we could have decided to go with 50, but then that's too much for one staff member. And so what we decided to go to start small, and be able to track the kids, and also to be able to direct them, to be able to refer kids to any type of additional services that they might have. One of the things that we've done with our kids is we one of the first assessment tools that we did is we gave them a tool that's called the MACI, which is a mental health assessment, just to kind of gauge the type of mental health issues that kids are facing. And you would be surprised the types of issues that kids that young are facing. So having that data also is able to help us to provide more adequate services to see, well, you know, if kid has mental health issues, then I may not be able to provide mental health care because I'm not a clinician, but we might be able to refer to our mental health staff to provide those services, not only for youth, but also for families. So, yeah. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Again, thank you. I'm sorry?
I said, any public comment?
Well, I'll ask a second time. Is there any public comment?
Yes.
Jeanette Luciano. First of all, I want to tell Mary, I'm glad that you ask questions. Very good. And to some of the board, I'm going to ask, please, Mary's new. She has to ask questions. And I don't think that it's proper for some to laugh when Mary's talking. I don't think that is right. You guys, start with respect, please.
We're now on number 7, fire items. Kevin, do you want to introduce fire item A, the 2008 Assistant to Firefighters Grant?
This item is involved with the exhaust removal system for the apparatus room. Captain Bova had done a lot of work to apply for a federal grant for this system that we need and have wanted for a long come up with an additional $4,699. Because of response deadlines, it was necessary to indicate to FEMA that the Oceano Community Services District would indeed accept the reduced grant amount. Unfortunately, that happened prior to giving the board an opportunity for a full review. if the board would like to not accept the grant, I'm sure we can unwind and back out of the grant if you decide to go in that direction. That's not the recommendation, though. The recommendation is that the board, authorize a transfer from contingencies to fixed assets in the fire department budget. There's $10,000 of contingencies in the fire department budget right now, and so there's funds available to transfer $4,664 over into the fixed assets.
Last night at the fire committee meeting, there was a great deal of time spent on this, and I think I'll ask Pamela to bring the board and the public up to speed on what we felt, what our recommendation would be, the fire committee to the board.
I guess it was a little bit of a shock because Captain Bova was told about this back in December after our only meeting in December. So he had to respond to FEMA fairly rapidly. And the one thing that we really took to heart was what it says here is that it's possible, however, that if the board decides to reject the grant funds, it may diminish the district's likelihood of being awarded other grant funds in the future. And we figured $35,000 is a good start toward, more than a good start, to our exhaust system, and that we felt we should go ahead with the grant funding, even though it is more than we expected. And we do have the money in the contingency fund, and we do need to get this exhaust system in. So our recommendation to the board is that we do proceed with that. But everybody can ask questions, and we have Greg Angelo here who could answer anything else I didn't cover.
Okay, I'll start at the other end this time. Mary, do you have any questions on this item?
Well, is there anything in the next, the end of the fiscal year is June 31st, and so
out of the contingency would be $4,669, in other words, half of the contingency fund. Because the original $2,000 was a budgeted line item for matching grants.
So contingency was, that wasn't committed to anything? That fund is not solely dedicated to anything?
No, it wasn't last year.
Okay, no. And it started at $10,000, just so I'm talking about the right fund because I'm slightly still in a state of delirium. And so, if the fund started out, so you're saying that there'll be $5,000 left in that fund. How much will you say that'll be left in there?
About $5,300.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure I had it assessed it right.
Anybody else have any questions? I think the one other thing that I learned in this area, that I believe that we had been under the impression that when we applied for a grant, if we got it, at the time we got it would be when the board would decide whether they actually wanted to move ahead with it. And so now we're realizing that no, that's not the way this works. If you apply for a grant, I think it would be prudent for us to know that we budgeted the matching figure for any grant we might apply for. If we don't get the grant, then we have a savings that could go into our reserves.
You know, there's one other thing I'd like to point out, Barbara, is that I just now looked at the statement. It is possible, however, that the board decides to reject this grant. It may diminish the district's likelihood. I'd like to see, since that is on district stationery, that statement, it's quite an intimidating statement, too, as a grant writer. So I'd like to see where in the documents from FEMA that it implies that if you pass up this grant, it may not allow you for either other grants. because I'm sorry I didn't catch it earlier. I just thought it was a cover letter from FEMA, an award letter, and I read the award letter earlier, and it didn't say that at all.
We discussed that of mine too, Mary.
Good evening. My name is Rick Heath. I talked to Mr. Matthew about that statement today, and his answer was that in future grants, the feds cannot discriminate. They may ask questions, so if you write another grant for something else, they may ask questions on it, and the only fallback on that is that when you write grants, you try to write it so that there is no questions asked. They just approve it. That's what Mr. Matthew reported.
And I did ask you to check with him.
Yes.
I believe.
So can I go back to my question? Does he have it in writing?
You know, whenever I was talking to him, he was attempting to find that on the website. But he did not produce it for me.
No.
Director Lucy, did you see the FEMA letter to John Bova?
Yes, I did.
And did you pick up that one second paragraph? I didn't know exactly how to interpret that. You establish acceptance of the grant and grant agreement articles when you request and receive any of the federal grant funds awarded to you.
But the award was also reduced as well. So I doubt very seriously. I doubt it that means nothing. It doesn't mean anything because they reduced the award and increased the percentage of the matching grant. So we actually have grounds to deny it because we had budgeted in at this amount. The grant had been applied for at 37 and funded at 33. Which would have said, you know, that, so that's like an increase of almost $2,000. Your annual budget is budgeted at $2,000. It's not budgeted at $66,640. So, you know. I read that, and I read it as, you know, it's standard language attached to almost all the.
I'm never happy about spending more money than we intended. However, I know that this has been on the list for a number of years.
Chief Heath and I are your fire chiefs. Right? So,
yeah.
This is diesel fumes are a known carcinogen, and all fire stations that are now being built are required to have some either ventilation system or exhaust extraction system. And I think that with the opportunity to get the majority of this type of safety equipment in the station, I would hate to see you pass up the opportunity and not get this rather than turn down the grant for the money. But Chief Heath and I will see if we can find that language identified. And
well, I just, you know, it's... I don't like to be, you know, look, the fire department has set their priorities. I'm more than willing to follow along with what you guys have identified as priorities. Mm-hmm. But your priorities have to meet your budget, you know. And you have to remember is that we're in a recession. So if this is not one of your priorities, you're going to be denying yourself something else down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, well, because when this is all tapped, it's tapped. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There is no more. And you know that running departments and stuff like that. We also have a new administration, you know, on a federal level. So, but statements like that trigger me. And mm-hmm. it doesn't intimidate me. It infuriates me. Mm-hmm. So, of course, a grant writer is going to say that. Mm-hmm.
I think
it's a priority.
Well, I think it behooves us to be as OSHA compliant as possible. If it saves any future workers' compensation claims due to effects of carcinogens, I think that this is money well spent.
Thank you. Captain Angelo, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Pretty much summed it up. It's a piece of safety equipment we've had on our priority list for quite a while. We haven't had any funding towards it. It is an OSHA regulation to have.
Okay. Thank you. Any other statements from the board before we go out to the public to see? No? Okay. Well, would the public like to comment on this item? Roll call, please.
Point of discussion, first of all.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I strongly support this item. I want to thank the chiefs and Dave Matthew for working on this, and John Bova, especially our captains, for working on this. It is an OSHA compliance issue. It's unfortunate. We did originally budget for the $2,000, but the federal government didn't come through with the exact amount that we had anticipated on the grant, but a very substantial amount, and I think this is pretty obviously necessary to carry on. We do have the funds in the contingency budget to proceed with it, so I can pretty wholeheartedly support this.
Vern?
I support.
Mary?
Yeah, I support.
Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Excuse me. President Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Thank you. Carries 5-0. The next item will be the joint dispatch study. Kevin?
At the December 10th meeting, the board heard a report regarding the actions of the Fire Oversight Committee and concurred with the direction of that committee to continue to pursue full consolidation of Arroyo Grande, Grover City, and Oceano fire departments, most likely through a joint powers agency. The staff of the three agencies have been working to prepare cost estimates and funding recommendations for the consolidated operations. And part of this, obviously, is consolidated dispatch operations. We now have two agencies that do dispatch, Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, and obviously in a consolidated operation, you're not going to have two people doing dispatch operations. So the idea here is to conduct a study to see what kind of dispatch services would be provided in a consolidated operation, what the options are for dispatch services, and what those costs would be. And so there is attached to your agenda memorandum a request for proposals. The intent is to send that request to qualified firms, get their costs for doing the study, and then conduct the study. The estimated cost for this work is $35,000, and that is a low-end estimate by Arroyo Grande. The discussion as we went along talking about fire dispatch was one of economy of scale, including more people. Obviously, the price per call can be less for the agencies involved. So there became a point where Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach were interested also looking at police dispatch for them, and as maybe as one unified call center there. And then also the discussion expanded this to the point of view. And the reason for that was, you know, if you expand your dispatch center to include more operations, then the cost per call is less, thereby a savings to each community. And then it was also thought, well, if there were others that wanted to have dispatch provided by maybe a regional center that could be set up, then that would further reduce the cost. So there was a thought then that the request for proposals might also include a way for others to join in the study if they were willing to pay their fair share of the study. That will have to remain to be seen. The study be beneficial even under current conditions for the reason I said. We have two dispatch services going on, and it seems intuitive that if there's only one, then that's got to result in some cost savings. The recommendation before your board is to authorize a $4,000 expenditure from the professional services line item in the fire department budget.
Pamela, do you want to add anything more about our discussion regarding this yesterday evening?
Yeah, the one main thing that we really wanted to share with everybody was that this joint powers agreement is something we wanted to proceed with. It's part of the continuing idea of consolidation. And also with Oceano putting in money for the study, we feel that we really definitely want a part in the formulation of the recommendation. And so that was the part we asked Kevin to look into last night also.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that the intent here is then the study, as outlined there in the request for proposals, item C, with the full consolidation of the three departments, then knowing what costs might be for dispatch services as we work towards the cost. I also like to mention at this time that from what I've seen of cost estimates and possible cost sharing scenarios, that it causes me to remain optimistic, very optimistic, that we are going to be able to participate in a joint powers association for fire consolidated services, and that we should, with the amount of money we receive now from property tax for our fire services, be able to fund our fair share of that joint powers agency. Remains to be seen. There's a lot of cost to be determined. Chief Heath and Chief Hubert are working on that now. The managers and myself are working on that, and part of that is to determine dispatch services. That's the purpose of the study.
Jim.
The only questions I have on the staff report is, do we have an estimate in either terms of dollars or percentage how much we might expect to save should a joint dispatch be achieved?
No, we don't. And one reason we want to conduct this study is obviously get that number. And one reason we don't have an estimate is there is not the in-house expertise among the three agencies to answer such questions as what equipment might be needed. And that is one of the big cost items for dispatch.
I guess my only other concern would be that with the possible inclusion of the police dispatch into a joint dispatch center, I think the accepted protocol in such cases is that fire dispatch kind of takes second priority to police dispatch where there's common dispatch. And I would, from our point of view, I would think we would want to have fire dispatch be of prime importance.
I'm going to ask Chief Hubert to respond to that. I'm not sure that's our joint understanding of it. It might be. I was more under the impression the agency that has the incident would begin
the priorities to law enforcement and the fire service. The short-term hopeful outcome of the study would be where, if we move down this consolidated path of the fire services, who should dispatch the fire departments under one roof? And that, as identified in the request for proposal, they're going to look at all the alternatives, and I would assume that would include CAL FIRE. And right now we have two of the agencies that are dispatched by Grover Beach, and one of the agencies dispatched by Arroyo Grande. And as you might understand, we have two sets of dispatchers, two different types of incident reporting systems or incident number identifier systems. We have training issues in both agencies, and they're doing the best they can, but you can imagine the difficulty of trying to work within that sort of system of two agencies dispatching fire units. So, and actually three, because we, county fire dispatches us all at some times. So,
I know that the existing system is not optimal, but I was just concerned that the fire dispatch might take second priority if it was combined with a police and fire dispatch service.
If it's a true public safety communication facility, they should take equal weight of priority. Right now, because they're supervised and in the police departments, I would say they're probably, you know, law enforcement mission is a little different than the fire service mission. And the way they're staffed, you can imagine that if they're getting a 911 call and they're hearing, you know, two sets of radio traffic and the phone's ringing off the hook, it's a little, can be hectic.
So. Thank you. I think you answered my question well. Thank you.
Anything else, Jim?
No.
Vern? Mary?
Are you ready?
It's your turn.
Okay. I was just curious, you know, about a lot of things on this. Whenever there's a dollar attached to it, please don't take it personal. Okay? Because that's just how I am. And so, now, is it the Fire Oversight Committee that's put the joint committee? And I'll get the lingo down. I really will. So technically, we're studying ourselves. Because Grover has a contract with us. So I kind of feel like you pulled us into this way too early, because we have a contract with Grover. We're the subcontractors of Grover, but we're also part of the consolidated plan with the three. Mm-hmm. We don't do fire. I mean, we don't do law, police. And so this is, I look at this $4,000 as just one of those little gifts we give to the neighbors every once in a while. And it comes in the form of a feasibility study, a dispatch study. You know, they're just like, we get pulled into these things. Now, what's going to happen is that after the RFP is, you know, everybody's bid on it and the award has been granted, there's going to be another study. And it's going to be, you know, how much should we charge our subcontractors for the service? And guess who the subcontractors are? It's Oceano. And so in these kind of situations, because we want to look at the bigger picture, and really, trust me, I'm not trying to put fear in anybody, but we're in a recession that most people do not know how to operate in, because they've never, ever lived it before, and they haven't began to live it yet. You know, so these are kind of like, where you just say, we're not going to gouge this little town over here for this $4,000, because one, they don't have police. Two, is a large percentage of their calls go out to the state, and we didn't even include the state in our analysis because we're spending a lot of money responding to the beach. So, and also too, we have a subcontract with Grover Beach, so wouldn't it be kind of best to maybe leave us out of that, because whoever wins the contract is going to go back and look at the fees are correct for this subcontractor, and our name is going to pop up again. That's just my humble opinion.
Well, I want to, perhaps I should have made it clear in my spoken comments that we're not paying for the police portion of this dispatch
$4,000
study. The idea is that Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande are picking up their share of the police. If you look at the percentage that we're paying, it's far less than just.
So, but we're really picking up the bulk of the state feed, the bulk of the state out there, right?
If you mean the response to the dunes?
Yeah.
That's correct, and that's a
whole
other conversation, and that probably would be.
I'm not even going to bring it up right now.
Yeah.
Just not.
When.
I'm done, I promise. So anyway, I would really suggest that, you know, it's these little 4,000, 5,000, 10,000, 12,000 that are just going to drive us into the ground. you know? So I thought this should be a courtesy. We're going to include you just because we're nice.
Anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
You said that Aurora Grandy responds on the beach. I thought your vehicles couldn't go down in the sand.
They took the
go ahead.
They took the Type 3.
The wildlife? Engine. Or the bush?
The wildland.
Wildland engine, yes.
Okay. So that is so they don't normally respond to beach accidents, only vegetation fires? Is that right? Am I?
Only Grandy will respond to incidents that, number one, if they're capable of getting to the incident, and also if it's within their capacity of what they're capable of doing. The vegetation fire, they have a Type 3, so they were able to respond to it.
So a lot of times, I'm not really good on geography, but you can go in the back way to get to the vegetation sometimes, as opposed to going from the beachfront. Is that correct? That was one question. I personally had a problem with us paying for this because. All right, Captain Angelo, because I feel it's been studied over the years, trying to combine AG and Grover police and fire, and I figure that here we're paying for this. I'm not wanting to spend much money on anything until we know whether we can be part of the JPA, but I just wanted you to know how I personally felt. Mm-hmm.
I think I might have misunderstood your question, and Craig just signaled me, so you might have.
As far as the response with the Type 3 to the beach, Aurora Grandy's Type 3 is very similar to our big international four-wheel drive or brush rig, which could not access from the backside of the dunes. We have, I could safely say we have probably the only vehicle in South County that could access it from the back side to fight fire.
Because I thought, I don't remember when it was that we'd had fires there where you guys went in off of Halcyon Road, you know.
Yeah, they were able to get a couple of Type 3s back there, but unfortunately one of them got stuck in the middle of the road. So
I wasn't dreaming.
Yeah, it was done right there, and he had to lay a bunch of hose.
All right, I wasn't dreaming, though, that they did
go. The best way I can describe it is we'll go down there and give a report on conditions, and like the night of the last vegetation fire, the beach was like a freeway. It was extremely low tide, hard packed. We could get pretty much anything we wanted to on the beach, but as far as getting in dunes, we're pretty much in.
Okay, thank you.
Question.
Yes, Vern.
When you came up with these numbers to figure out how much each agency was going to pay, did that include the mutual aid calls?
These were total number of calls.
They weren't
separated out whether they were automatic aid to, say, Rio Grande, Grover Beach, Oceano, or the county. They're total numbers.
So all the numbers, police, fire, all include any mutual or automatic aid calls?
Yes, it's total call volume.
Okay, great. And is there any point where PISMO is going to be approached in this timeline or this overall consolidation effort?
I believe the city managers are going to reach out to them, as general manager indicated. They're looking at talking to other cities that may want to participate, and I'll reiterate the long-term goal is to maybe look at a regional.
That's $4,000 from professional services account, and I believe that account in this fiscal year certainly has been challenged, to say the least. I wonder why we would not consider this expenditure from the fire department contingency fund.
Oh, it's not under the fire department's budget?
Yes. Is that not?
Yes.
Actually, you can do it either way, and we thought that there would still be money available through professional services and try to reserve the rest of the contingency just in case something else did come up. But you can do it through contingency, and we would always make different transfers if something else happened.
The professional services, though, that was in the fire department's budget, was it not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was fire department professional services?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Is there anything in the account?
Pardon me?
Is there anything in there?
Uh-huh. Yes, there is.
It's the professional services in the fire department, not in the other areas.
Okay, I didn't see that itemized in the.
Yeah, I mean, because we asked
summary.
That question last night about it. Is there any questions or comments from the public? If not, I'll bring it back to the board.
I would move that we approve the district's participation in the joint dispatch study and authorize the expenditure of $4,000 from the professional services line item 01420022020.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any discussion on that? If not, roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
No.
President Mann?
No. It carries 3-2. All right, now, Captain Angelo, can you give us the fire report, please?
Sure.
Cut to the money section.
Well, this is the operations report for Oceano in December. During the month of December, we responded to a total of 56 calls. 26 were in Oceano, 15 in Grover Beach, 6 in Arroyo Grande, 8 to Cal Fire, which also won on the beach, which is also considered Cal Fire. Of the 26 in Oceano, 6, we worked pretty hard on that throughout the month. That was our focus. We were also able to have pretty good amount of time on the old Kalt Chevron building. The owner, Skip Kalt, allowed us to use the building to breach doors, breach walls, ventilation training. We were able to try all sorts of different techniques of emergency egress or a rescue. So it worked out really well for us. And all three departments worked pretty much every day, all day, for a solid week and a half on that. So we got a lot of good training in on that. And so great thanks to Kel Chevron for that. Captain Bova and Captain Leathers also went to a state fire marshal class in Arroyo Grande, which was Management 2A. It's advanced management and dealing with manager skills as far as discipline and focused management on certain subjects throughout the fire service. It's a pretty good class. I hope to take it soon. And then also Santa came here during the month of December and visited all the kids. We had a pretty good turnout as far as families and children go. During the Santa night, we also had a structure fire. 1300 block past Robles Street. It started near a floor heater, and I don't know if they determined the cause. Officer McBride from the Arroyo Grande Police Department assisted in the investigation. That is one of our South County investigators, and I don't know if the report's back on that yet or not. But he was able to get here relatively quick and help him out with that. Can take any questions as far as the report goes.
Just, I understand there was a tabletop exercise for Arroyo Grande Creek levee failure and flooding, and our department participated in that.
The on-duty crew did, yes. Unfortunately, I didn't get to hear too much on how that went, But I know we were really looking forward to it. I haven't spoken. I believe it was Captain Bova that attended that. So I haven't had a chance to meet up with him and discuss it yet.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Questions from the public? Not. Thank you very much.
I promise not to bring that.
Everybody's sitting up here. When we go down, Vern, he has a turn. And if I look down there, and if you don't say anything, I'm assuming, of course, that's not very smart to do. But I'm thinking you don't want to say something, or you don't want to say something. Maybe I could stand up and look around if that would help. But not disrespecting anyone up here. Number 8, utility items. Kevin, you want to do 8A?
Well, this is the standard item for the continual disclosure of the emergency condition that you've been adopting at each of your meetings.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
8A, it's almost a pro forma. You've been adopting that at each of your meetings as the continuing disclosure of the emergency declared for the sewer cleaning project. It's a roll call vote.
Okay, the recommended action is by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote, determined by 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue the action.
Second. Do I have to vote on it each time?
Yes, I believe we do have to vote on this each time. Okay. I'm sorry. Now, public comment, anyone? Any board comments?
No.
Okay. Roll call, please.
You have a motion?
Okay, there,
yes.
Who made a motion?
I don't know.
I'll move
Jim
that we...
Jim did. She seconded.
Determine that there is a need to continue the emergency for cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines following the Cincinnati.
Not really.
I second that.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Thank you very much. 8B.
This project is the sewer replacement and repair project that's required due to the damages that were suffered on the December 22, 2003 San Simeon earthquake. Environmental work for this project was completed, including a determination environmental documentation. And therefore, they did not recommend that there be any monitoring or additional work regarding the red-legged frog. However, we've been informed because the area is adjacent to potential habitat. By the way, no red-legged frogs have ever been observed in the area. But because we're adjacent to potential habitat, that we still need to have a monitor out there for these frogs. Because of deadlines, it was necessary to approve the change order for the Morrow Group to do this monitoring so that we could get this work underway. And in fact, as we speak, the work has already been started. It started Monday, I believe. The construction.
Right, on Monday.
On Monday. And we wanted to get this project underway and going. So what I'm asking the board to do is to approve the change order, ratify the change order for $7,500. I've already given authorization to the contractor, so it's a little after the fact. And I suppose if you really want to, you don't have to approve the change order. But without that change order, the project cannot go forward at all. It just comes to a complete stop. You cannot do the work. I also notice on the way to investigating, you know, my authority for change orders and expenditure limitations that there really is not a clear district policy just to what the limit of the general manager is to approve change orders. On the one hand, because you don't have a policy, one could imply, well, there is no limit to change orders. General manager has that authority. On the other hand, because it's not addressed at all, you could say, well, there's no authority for change orders at all. And I'm suggesting that the board resolve that in the current codification work. And that is an item on the agenda tonight. I don't think we should take it up right here under this agenda item. We can wait till we come to agenda 9B and discuss change order authority and procedures further if you wish at that time. So we'll need a motion and a second, a roll call vote to approve a change order in the amount of $7,500.
Board discussion?
And this amount would come out of the grant total that...
I have this one.
There was a letter from me, to me, from the Morrow Group with the contract amendment. And there was a letter from the United States Department of Interior Fish and Wildlife Service dated July 4th, 2007 to the Morrow Group. Those documents, I thought, fairly well summarized the issue, the problem, how we got into the situation we are, and my memo explains what we need to do to address.
We'll just give Mary another minute or two so she can look at it, since she didn't have that.
So where would, since this wasn't in the annual budget, where do you suggest that this additional funds come from?
This eligible for grant funding. For the grant we obtained.
So it would just be added to
the community.
To the dedicated grant on this.
Yes, the community development block grant. That's correct.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was covered under that.
I apologize for not making that more clear in my agenda memo.
Yeah. So it's basically just pass through funds?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Vern, you have any thoughts on this?
It's just sad that it's gotten to the point where you got a monitor for being next to some place that doesn't have anything. Monitor for something that, because you're next to a place that could have something. It's just to me, it's just a more waste of people's money and you know.
Damn frog.
It's just another example of part of a broken system. That's it, sincere. But it's, you know, what has to be done, so it has to be done.
Any discussion from the public on this? And the red-legged frog. Bring it back to the board.
I move this funding of $7,500 will be coming from the FEMA grant CDBG funding.
Thank you. Acceptable to the second.
Thank you. Again, does the public have any comment on that? If not, roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes.
If I could make just one other comment, I appreciate the general manager stepping in on this item in the absence of guidance, and I obviously this is something that needed to go forward, and I appreciate you stepping in on that. I don't know whether it's possible in the future to pull board members from your position or what to help that, or perhaps we can address that in this additional item. But I appreciate in this case you stepping in and doing that. I also am concerned that we're being forced to pay for something. It's like, since we live in California, maybe we should monitor for some Oregon duck or something like that, because this is $7,500 that won't go to sewer improvements here because we're going to watch for something that doesn't exist. So that's part's discouraging.
I think you sum up the sentiments of everybody sitting here.
I'd like to echo that appreciation for stepping forward.
Thank you. All right. 9A, administrative items, committee assignments. You have a corrected committee assignment listed that was given out tonight. We had two typos that we had to correct. These are the proposed outside committees and the additional committees. And if you approve these appointments, we will be able to move forward.
Sharing bedroom.
Yeah. No, it's not one of the committees.
Please.
Please, what?
When I said please.
Do we have public comment? Or do you want to entertain a motion?
No, I'll go to public comment. You asked why I said please, though, Mary.
It's corrected. I'm corrected.
Oh, it's just me then.
So I think there was a corrected list at your place.
The old one.
This is the old one.
Is there any
corrected list?
Yeah.
It was on the previous one.
Any comments from the board? If not, any comments from the board? I know I talked too fast.
Oh, okay, that's what it is.
Okay. Seeing nobody on the board wanting to say anything else, I guess. I'll open it to the public for any comments public might have to make. Yes. Could you come up to the microphone, please?
Well, I was just going to ask you if you can read it because I have no idea what you want.
Oh, all right.
I don't have all the paperwork.
Okay.
Here's an old one.
Core committee, there are two directors on the core committee. The fire committee is Mann and Dean. Finance is...
I just got them, so...
All right.
I'm the only one here, so...
It might be worthwhile to read them just so everyone knows.
Okay. Finance, Hill and Dean. Personnel, Lucy and Dahl. Water and Sewer, Hill and Lucy. Community Enhancement, Lucy and Dahl. Community Enhancement also includes garbage, street lighting, alleys, parks, and recreation. The other essential committees, and these will... The first name will be the primary, and the second name will be the alternate. Airport land use and airport land use. Mary Lucy is the primary. Vern is the alternate. But I might also note that Director Dahl is a alternate member on the Airport Land Use Commission. You are that. We have nothing to say about that.
Yeah, so I'll be at all the meetings anyway.
Yeah, you'll both be at all the meetings. California Special Districts, Mann. Oceano Advisory is Dahl and Lucy. South San Luis Sanitation District, Hill and Mann. Supervisor Liaison, Mann. Zone 3 is Dean and Lucy. Zone 3 Technical is Phil Davis. The RAC is Mann and the General Manager. Zone 1, 1A, to ask the public if they have any comments.
If I could have done that, I'm sorry.
Okay. No. Seeing no comments from the public, then we need a second if Jim made the motion.
I'd second it.
Okay. Does this have to be a roll call also?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? It carries 5-0. Thank you. The codification project. An update on the OCSD district code, a codification of the general ordinances, and applicable resolutions of OCSD.
Before we jump into this, could we get a short break?
Sure. 5 minutes.
Thank you.
6 minutes. Be back at 8 o'clock. Calling the board back to order, please. Nine B is a codification project, the update on the OCSD district code, a codification of the general ordinances and applicable resolutions for OCSD. Before I turn this over to our general manager, I just wanted to make a statement that the way I remember it, and I could be really wrong, I thought at the towards the end of last year, we had talked really about accepting the codification in its concept and then going back a chapter at a time or so and reviewing those. Did I remember that correctly, or was that what we had kind of talked about? Do you remember, Jim? Or
I think that's kind of my recollection.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to say where I thought we had been, maybe in November. I don't mind. Okay.
Well, I was going to speak to that set of issues after the general manager.
So I'm turning it over to him. Yeah. I just wanted, you know, sometimes I wonder if I've imagined something or not. Your turn.
A first draft of the proposed code was distributed at that time. That is correct. This item is on the agenda so that the board can discuss it and give possible conceptual approval to the code. It's anticipated that a formal ordinance would be an agenda item. And in my memo, I ought to put a period there, it would be an agenda item. My memo, I said for the January 24th meeting, but in light of President Mann's comments about going through chapter by chapter, that would obviously take some time, and an ordinance would come at a later date. I also have some suggested language to be added to the draft code at this time. It also could happen at a later date, and it refers to the item 8B that was earlier on the agenda, and authority for the general manager to approve change orders if the board wanted included at this time or a later time is fine. I've just put some wording together that seemed reasonable and appropriate for Oceano to use, and it's just something for you to think about. Recommendation really tonight is then to give direction to staff if you have any to give, and I know our attorney has some comments to make as well.
And part of it speaks to the issue that President Mann raised about where were we last year. And this was scheduled to come on and be discussed at length at the October 22nd meeting. At that time, General Manager Walsh had provided me, just very shortly before the meeting, a number of comments about the code. And he then, through no fault of his own, ended up being sick and he missed the meeting. And then we only had one meeting in November, one meeting in December. So we never got back to it. And no real action, I believe no real action was taken at that October meeting. I've since had an opportunity to speak with the general manager a couple of times. There are a few spelling and grammatical routine type of mistakes that we've identified that we think need to be cleaned up. There are a couple of mostly cosmetic changes that he wants to make to the numbering scheme in anticipation that when you come back later on and go through this with a fine-tooth comb, we'll want to leave some room for a few things in places. I think those are well put observations by him. There were a couple of inconsistencies with state law that were carried over from the old code. And you would consider and do first reading that night. 2 weeks later, you would do adoption. If there were some very minor little spelling corrections or things of that nature that somebody identifies at that meeting and wants to make, we could certainly get those done and still be on track to adopt at the first meeting in February. We would then propose to go back through chapter by chapter in whatever order you deem appropriate and try and tear it apart through your committee structure and see if there aren't more substantive issues that you want to get into over the next year or so to try and address some of the frailties of our current ordinance structure. If you want to go in a different direction, we'll be happy to do that, but that's what we're proposing. I'll be happy to try and answer any questions.
Go ahead, Vern.
Could we go through the committee structure first and then come back with something ready to be adopted correctly the first time?
You absolutely could. The fear that I have if you do that is that in the search for perfection, you'll never get it adopted. We could be 18 months from now before you actually get it adopted. What we tried to do in this document is to faithfully, subject to a few changes in order to make it consistent with current state law, replicate or consolidate all of your existing ordinances into one more easily digestible document without really changing the law of the district. But the approach that you're proposing is... I can't say it's an invalid approach. I'm not sure it's the best approach.
Pamela?
And I want to applaud you for getting through this whole codification. This is one of our goals. This is one of the key items we felt was a necessity for our OCSD district to pursue. What I'm doing is, I have gone through some of these. It's difficult, but I've gone through some of these, and I've found that there are some just don't even read the same.
Well,
it's major.
If you've got some of those and you want to give them directly to us, we'll certainly try to run all of those issues down. If you want to do it through the committee structure, that's fine. But there are multiple situations where the district in the past has done things inconsistently. And one mm-hmm. classic example is with regard to the issue of at-will employment. There have been a number of situations where I think there's five documents on the subject mm-hmm. where a set of rules were adopted either by ordinance or resolution, and then at some later point in time, a different set of rules were adopted the other way, and then at a later time again, and then at a later time again, without ever specifically saying that they were repealing what happened before. There's one very recent example where a set of rules having to do with probationary employees was adopted by resolution by the board. And there was an existing ordinance that was completely contrary. Generally speaking, the ordinance trumps the resolution. So we tried to resolve those issues as best we could. And if you find some places where we made mistakes, I'll own up to it, and we'll try and get them fixed.
These are mainly, I'm looking in the water codes and things
okay.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some things we should address before we let it go further and compound.
However this board wants to do it.
And that's why I'm thinking it, and I don't want to redo the whole thing, but at least get to where we think the ordinances that we had before and what we have now and how we think they should go. And I don't know how long. I'm hoping it wouldn't take 18 months to review them. I'm hoping we could split up and do ad hoc committees for segments, depending upon our committee assignments or something. But I'd like to review them a little more in depth, because just picking up a few is probably, I don't know if it's indicative, but there are things here. And I'll give them out to everybody
sure.
so you can see what I'm looking at. I think we should look at them a little more closely. And it's really hard to push yourself to do this unless you're told to do it in a committee. And I think we kind of have to tell ourselves, this is the heavies are, so that you can that you can see that it's easy to get fouled up. It sometimes takes several people, and people with expertise I don't know that I have a whole lot, but I've read this a lot. Feels like I've read it a lot. So that's my little spiel, and I'll pass these out to you guys.
Director Dean, what did you have in mind as far as an ad hoc? Would it be under one of the core committees, or would it be a freestanding of the board? Or
I was thinking maybe certain core committees already have personnel, or already have finance, or already have water and sewer, and we're right. already segmented that way. It would be just an easier step just to assign those particular titles to that committee. And then come together, and then just have a big workshop and hash it out.
Yeah, I agree.
I share Alex's observation that there's the district in the long distant past from the immediate past on to the, back to the beginning mm-hmm. was apparently inconsistent in whether resolutions or ordinances were used to deal with various subjects at different times. And I wonder, just in the codification effort, how have we dealt with the trump card situation? Does a 20-year-old ordinance invalidate a series of more recent resolutions or minute items that address the same condition but change the circumstance?
From a strictly technical point of view, the answer to that question is yes. But, and Sean Torres, our law clerk who worked very diligently on this and couldn't be here tonight, can cite you a little better chapter and verse. But what we tried to do is to use the example that you just cited. If we saw a clear and consistent pattern that the board and the district had moved in a different direction, and we had any justification at all that we could use to use the more recent the law of the district, and so it would then become the paramount only document. If someone later in, you know, some sort of an issue that arose found an inconsistency between the code and one of the old ordinances, while it was your intent to marry in all the old ordinances, the code is now the law of the district.
And everything else is repealed or appealed.
Right, right.
That would seem to answer the problem, because I know the water and sewer things seem to be fairly consistently handled by ordinances, but there's a lot of other things that were have some ordinances and some resolutions, and there's direct contradictions. So I appreciate the difficulty of it.
Are these inconsistencies that were found, are they documented anywhere, or were they just figured out what was felt to be best?
We've got a large Excel worksheet and table, which was then scribbled on in handwriting, color-coded, if I remember correctly, that identifies, working backwards, what we think is the most recent law and what it amended out of existence. And the inconsistencies are called out there.
So would that be something that we would be looking at in a subcommittee type thing?
That wouldn't be my plan. And while I think Director Dean's point is well taken, and if there are inconsistencies that you're concerned about and you want to take care of, we certainly should address those and try and get them right. I think on the other hand, so long as the code embodies what this board currently believes is the policy that you want to put into place, you can take the position it really doesn't make any difference what went before. At a certain level, you could. And one of the dangers of going at this in the fashion that Director Danger and Benefit, and it's really the source of my 18-month comment. One of the dangers and benefits of going at this in the fashion that Director Dean has proposed is somebody says, you know, this document says this, the old code says that. It's really, there's a little inconsistent. Let's go off in this third direction and pursue some new policy or some new way of doing this, consistent with state law, but some new way of doing this. And now all of a sudden we're reshaping the whole thing. There's a danger in doing that. There's also an opportunity to maybe come up with something better. The board had originally expressed some.
That's when, you know what, you put absolutes in there, an absolute dollar amount, which makes it the difference between a living document and a, you know, a document that doesn't move. Is there some way that we can avoid doing that?
You're talking about, like, say, trash rates or something like that?
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a huge debate that goes on amongst people that do this kind of stuff. Some people, and I tend to fall into this camp, say, put it, say trash rates, put it in the appropriate section and title that deals with trash, and then 2 years from now or whatever the time frame is, when trash rates are to be amended, you come in and you adopt an ordinance that says, Title 7, Section 7 point, whatever it is hereby amended to read as follows. And then you adopt that whole section again. You don't just do a little exhibit that says the trash rates are now whatever it is. And then that new section now becomes the code. And in today's world, with capturing keystrokes and word processing and the ability to put these things up on the internet fairly quickly, that's not a big deal. The other way, the other approach to do it, which some people like, is that your text always remains the same, unless you're changing some policy, and you refer to an appendix or a table that is at the back of the code. And sometimes in some areas, you can't do it in all by state law, there's some areas you can't do this, but in some areas you can provide that the table can be changed either by ordinance or resolution. And then you just simply swap out the table. And the thing that a lot of people like about doing it that way is that if somebody wants to know what all the fees are for everything from trash to water to getting a will serve letter or hookups or whatever, you only have to go to one place.
That's been a personal concern for my entire tenure on this board, that we haven't had such a document as you describe. I don't know that it's necessary to have a particular table or if that information can be have currently, which is conflicting ordinances, resolutions, and other documents. And I think it's incumbent on us to get a high-tier document such as the code adopted and in place for all to see that will eliminate the confusion that just breeds bad feelings and mistrust. So I strongly support this concept. I appreciate your work on it. How the board wants to get there is certainly worthy of discussion. One of the items now, I guess we're looking at the item for general manager discretion on contracts. I would have some comment on that if we were going to request that this be added into the code. It would seem to me that our level of review of general manager discretion comes in at $5,000 for all other categories of business. And it would seem to me that the general manager should probably be given authority contingent on board approval for items over $5,000 that the general manager could, in consultation with the board president or members of the most germane committee, decide to proceed on a relatively emergency basis, such as the general manager's had to deal with on a couple of items that we've seen this evening.
Germane to the particular issue that arose here tonight, this, of course, arose out of the sewer work contract. And there was a very thick set of bid documents that was sent out for the general contractor to bid on. And associated with part of those bid documents was also the biological testing and a number of other things. It's fairly clear in the bid documents that if this adjustment had arisen with the general contractor, the general manager has the authority under the contract, which the board approved, to make the appropriate adjustment. But because of the fact that it was under the monitoring contract, which was a separate contract that was separately approved and does not automatically incorporate the general provisions of the bid documents, there was a little bit of ambiguity here, and we just thought it was best to try and resolve it this way.
Hearing none, if not, bring it back to the board for...
I think really all we're looking for is consensus here, right?
Well, but if the consensus is that you're going to distribute it out to the committees, then it's only 2 weeks, but it would be nice for somebody to say, okay, titles such and such and such and such go to this committee, titles such and such and such and such go to this committee, so that as you get into your next round of committee meetings, you could start having substantive discussions about these things. If you don't do that, then I think in a couple of weeks somebody needs to come back with that proposal to get that accomplished.
I guess my only concern with your suggested means of proceeding, which includes having the item on the January 28th agenda, is the draft code, you mentioned a number of changes and corrections since the draft was originally distributed. Can the current draft, which includes all of those corrections, be distributed well in advance of the meeting, such that typographicals or other minor substantive changes could be made, so that on the January 28th agenda we have the final document, quote unquote, and it can be approved without having to subject to changes?
I think the consensus I hear is that you're not going to approve it on the 28th. What you want to do is you want to go through the committees first. And what I would say is that within a week or so, it's a little different than what I'd originally planned, but within a week or so, we would be able to distribute to everyone, either electronically or in hard copy, whatever suits you, red lines to show exactly where we made all those changes. Mm-hmm. And if you decide, just for argument, I'm sorry, I don't have a committee list here, but Title 1 and Title 2 goes to the Personnel Committee, for instance, we can make sure that, those...
Gina made some copies. I brought 5 cents, but maybe not enough.
I think these changes are probably in
the making. And when you went through this, of course, you tried to get it as close as you could to what we already had.
Right.
And I'm sure you found things that you feel should be changed.
There were a number of them that I pointed out in a couple of them that I pointed out in the October 22nd memo. General Manager Walsh found a few, and we've had a couple of discussions about them, and there are a few of his changes that I had anticipated getting into the document before we came back on the 28th for adoption. The others we thought, well, those can kind of wait and get taken care of when the board tears this apart a little bit later on.
The general manager asked about rules of order being included in
We talked about that, and what we agreed to do was I was going to change the numbering scheme a little bit to leave a place for it at what would be the appropriate place, and then at a later time, the board could decide whether you want that to go in, and we could put it in and make it part of the code.
Yep. I would like to have everything as much as possible in there. My idea is that it be available, on an internet or something like that, where somebody could come in just from the public, do a search for a particular thing they wanted to see, and it would be there. And you wouldn't have to go through years of things that we'll be going through, actually, and you've been going through to distill this. But I want to be sure that we're all on board with saying the same thing, too. It's been a long haul for us. There have been, as one of those who has tried to read this inside and out and try to interpret it, and you've had your own problems interpreting it, you can't always tell what it means. It's been a difficulty to deal with. And that's the kind of thing we want to clear up and not have anymore. I want it to be as clear as possible and explicit as possible. And as Jim mentioned and you've mentioned, it's a hard go to know which ones over.
But as I said, it's only 2 weeks. If you don't have a problem with waiting for 2 weeks before you decide which committees you want it to go to, you can put that on your agenda at the next meeting. Somebody do a proposal, and by then you'll have the revised document, and at your next round of committee meetings, you could get started going at it.
And we do have our goal-setting meeting coming up, so that this definitely would be kind of a discussion point for our goal-setting
meeting. But I do believe the red line document that I talked about doing, we could have ready in about a week.
That would be helpful. That would be very helpful, so I would suggest that would be maybe the way to proceed.
Is that the consensus of the board?
I need to get that out to the public, Jim.
It looks like we'll be reviewing the codification sections in various committees. So if anyone was interested in that, they can watch the front window or the district office for posting of the committee meetings that will be engaging in those activities.
Okay. Thank you. Is everybody clear on that and okay with it?
Okay. And the assigning of which sections go to which committee?
I think that's going to be on your agenda for 2 weeks from now.
Okay. And is that something that we want to delegate to staff or not? As to assigning which ones go to which committees.
I was thinking we could maybe talk about it in our goal setting meeting or something like that, where we can all hunker down and say, oh, this should go to, because some are kind of heavy in one area than others. So I thought, well, maybe we could talk about it then, if that's okay. But Jim, you're
staff
not
could
there.
Certainly suggest.
And if anybody wants
appropriate committees to review,
maybe if anybody wants a particular part of it, they could certainly give staff a note saying, "I want to do X, Y, or Z."
Yeah. Okay, so then we'll have that discussion in the goal setting meeting then as well, right?
We can have that, yes, and speak to staff. I guess. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Jim, are you okay with that? You're not going to...
Not policies. You know, is there room for policy suggestions?
Well, this is another great debate in this arena of work, specifically the codification arena. And General Manager Walsh and Ryan and I had a lengthy discussion about this just a couple days ago. Some jurisdictions, by the inclination of the board, want to have all their policies sanctified by codification. That becomes a little unwieldy, but it is not an impossible thing to do. So, but you have a document that, kind of keeps growing. Other organizations say, no, the code is the law of the district. If you violate this, you've done something pretty bad. We have other things that are in the nature of policies or administrative operations procedures that don't quite have the same sanctity as the code, even though we want to stick to them. For instance, a good example, and we had a little bit of this debate, is that there are a lot of jurisdictions that would not make the rules of order part of the code, because all it really is designed as a set of guidelines, for the most part, about how we conduct ourselves in meetings and interfacing with the staff and that sort of thing. And perhaps by putting in the code, you give it a little more sanctity than it's really entitled to. Same thing with policies. But I will say, tagging on to something that Director Dean said earlier, whatever it is, if it's something that's important to the district, in today's world, you can get it out there on the internet so that it's available. Whether it's an employee handbook or a document retention policy or a sexual harassment policy or the water rate structure.
Okay. So this isn't the whole kitchen sink.
No.
This
no.
is just like...
it's a small portion of what we actually
have.
This is
like a directory. Mm-hmm. It's where to find the rest of plumbing.
It's more at where you have acted in your legislative capacity and ability to set regulations which govern the activities of your customers. That's
9C, LAFCO nomination request for from the Templeton CSD for their director, David Brooks. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. This item is on the agenda at the request of President Mann. Traditionally, the special districts have chosen their representatives to LAFCO in a way that we have a representative from North County and one from South County. And the South County representative for a number of years has been our own esteemed Madam Chairman. And in North County, we've been represented by the Templeton Community Service Director, David Brooks. And it's recommended that we authorize our president to support his reappointment.
For the North County?
Well, it's for the whole county. But that seat is up, so it has to be filled. I mean,
LAFCO gets... special districts get to have people on the LAFCO board. They get two of them, and they can be whoever the special districts choose. It's just that amongst the special district members themselves, they've said, we can keep peace in the family by having a North County special district representative and a South County representative. There's no statutory requirement to do that. It's entirely within the purview of special districts. So when you say, as our North County representative, I wouldn't want that to convey any more than it really is.
It's,
you know,
the
one of you could run for the, you know, ask, well, gee, I want to be LAFCO, and there's two Oceano members on. That's entirely within the realm of possibility. It's just that the special district said it serves us well to have a North and a South County because there seem to be different issues in each part of the county based on that geographic type division.
In the past, we had a representative from the coast and South County. It kind of works out with somebody from the North County because when there's an issue, like maybe Santa Maria or Santa Margarita Ranch, they certainly know a lot more about that than we do from down here. Or when there's something about Napoma's water and what they're trying to do, you know, we would know more to fill in the other people on the board. The North County position is coming up, or it is up, and it's a four-year term.
And is it only one person running?
Yeah, that's the only.
North County.
This
is Mr. David Brook.
One that has been suggested that we've received a letter from his board who nominated him, asking us to support him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And nobody else has stepped forward and wanted to do it. He's done it the last
four years,
and mm-hmm. he's very good. So I would ask that we support his candidacy. Any comment from the public? The pleasure of the board?
Well, I would go based upon your recommendation of having worked with him that we would move to support the reappointment of David Brooks as the LAFCO Special District Representative.
I'll second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. He'll be happy to hear that tomorrow. D, 9D, the establishment of district goals for the fiscal year 2009-2010. Kevin?
Yes, it's that time of the year to have a board workshop where you can set your goals. This is something that for the past several years. I've worked with Director Mann to come up with that suggested date of January 20th, and we're bringing it to the board this evening to see if that works for the rest of the directors. I think I should mention the session would be moderated.
Yes, by Arnie Dowdy, who did it for us 2 years ago. That was quite successful, and he is available on that evening.
Do we have a time?
6 o'clock.
6 p.m. till any idea?
Well, we're usually done in 2 hours.
Okay.
Any other board questions about it? Comments?
Oops.
Anything here? If not, you got anybody up here want to say anything before I ask the public?
Well, someone when they meets that day, too.
But this is in the evening.
Yeah, okay. It's not going to be.
I may have a prior appointment, but.
Less than 2 hours or 3 hours. I'm not so sure our goals are going to be the same. I'm not so sure we're going to have money to buy tissue paper. You know, I'm just saying is that I think that maybe we might need to come up with a plan B.
Well, we could always have another session.
Okay, so if you could leave that window open.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I just think that people are really minimizing the economic situation in this country. And,
Might maybe remind everybody, look at what the goals were the last 2 years and what have we accomplished, or are there some of those that we think are not goals anymore? Especially, Jim, if you can't be there, your thoughts will be really, write them down because you're so good at writing. Okay.
Do we want to have a goal setting meeting that doesn't include all five of us? Wouldn't we be better off?
Well, would you like to pick another day?
I don't, I'll try to make myself as available as possible, but I would think that that would probably be more important for us to have all five of us there.
I'm certainly willing to do that. Somebody pick a day that, what about for you?
I'd be perfectly willing to go with writing down my idea on goals and giving it to the staff or the president to present. And I understand the facilitator has a availability that night, so it would be probably a major rescheduling to change this at this point. But
then you feel fine with that amount of input?
Well, as Mary said, we will probably want to have a second after we come up with the preliminary goals, and then maybe then the next meeting we can have, we wouldn't need to have the facilitator there. Kevin would be there and used to it and know to flesh it out a little more.
If Director Hill is fine with it, that's, you know, that's fine with me.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that everybody has the...
Now I'll go to the public. If that's okay, let me...
That's fine.
Ooh, I touched you.
Karen White, Halcyon. Is this meeting a meeting you want public input or public to attend?
It is open to the public if they want to come.
Well, I think it's a very poor date because it's the day of the inauguration. And well,
is anybody available on Saturdays?
Sure.
Yeah.
What about you, Vern? Saturdays?
In the evening.
Evenings, okay.
Saturday evening. Okay, not Saturday daytime.
Not weekend
just
daytime.
Just means we won't be eating lox and bagels that morning together. Mm-hmm.
And you aren't off on Fridays anymore, are you?
Mm-mm. I can do Friday evenings. I can do evenings.
Evenings.
Mm-hmm. Evenings is basically good.
Well, pick a date and tell me, and we'll call. Give me a couple dates.
How about the third Wednesday? We meet on the second, of course.
The sanitation district uses this building.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you think the San district would mind maybe moving their meeting up for an hour? Moving their meeting up? Or I mean,
well,
we have
a board member sitting here who is on the sanitation district board. And they meet at 6 o'clock.
They meet at 6.
They
very
meet at 6.
No more than a half hour.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought.
After that, maybe
could
after
be
the meeting.
Perhaps it's 7 o'clock or
yeah.
On an alternate Wednesday.
Okay.
On the 21st, would that work?
No, I'm not available on the 21st. But
oh, you're not?
Not on the 21st, I'm not.
Okay.
Well, that would be...
But you can...
22nd, perhaps.
The first...
Thursday.
Thursday the 22nd?
Yes.
You are that? Or Monday the 19th?
Monday the 19th is holiday.
Oh, that's a holiday.
And OAC.
Huh?
And OAC.
Oh, Oceano Advisory Commission also on that day.
That's a hot one.
Okay, so what days, the dates again that we should see?
You just said the 22nd.
That's Thursday the 22nd.
So who's available Thursday night the 22nd?
I am.
Yeah, I am.
I am. Barbara, are you available?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Barbara,
okay.
Can we schedule it for 6?
Give me another date also.
Saturday the 24th evening after the ethics training.
We kind of bet that Saturday night wouldn't work for the facility. And... staff will give you a call to tell you the date, right? Because if I call, it's a serial meeting, or is it? Can I call them to tell them what the date is? Patrick? I mean, oh God, excuse me. Alex?
Can you call Arnie to tell them?
No,
oh,
can
again?
I call each one of these to say, yes, it's Thursday the 22nd, or yes, it's Saturday the 24th?
The date... You haven't set the date. The board has set the date as one or the other. Why don't you have staff do that?
Okay. So staff can give you a call.
Then there's no question that you've discussed other things you shouldn't have.
All right.
Madam Chair, just in case the 22nd or the 24th does not work out, did the board want to consider a third alternative as the original 20th date?
I don't think they want to, but I don't know. Let's try for these two.
It's just not a fly-by election for some of us. You know, some of us just now start sleeping after 8 years. So, you know, it's kind of a really symbolic day. I mean, come on, looking younger already.
Okay.
22nd or 24th.
We'll call tomorrow and... try to get a date. Right, I think, okay. 9E, the recruitment of a general manager.
Kevin?
Basically, you need to schedule a board meeting to review the applications for the general manager position and to make a selection on those candidates that you would like to hire.
Interview,
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Gina. Ultimately, you'll be making a decision on who you want to hire. It will just be one, not many.
Okay, staff has proposed a...
Asking a technical question.
Staff has proposed a process for doing this, which was in our...
I'd like the chairs the opportunity to look at the applications, see which ones qualify, the ones that aren't qualified, that they're bunched, and then directors can look at them instead of wasting five people's time, kind of sort through, go through them, and see which ones are serious consideration, which ones are not. And I just see this process as going through the personnel committee. And then you include your board when it comes down to making decisions and reviewing, you know, strong candidates. I don't see, and I just, you know, like I said, I'm really playing catch up. I don't know if there's an evaluation instrument that's been created to even evaluate the applications, but okay. I'm sure there's something. So I don't know if there's a protocol in place yet or not. I don't know if there's set questions that we ask, so we're consistent throughout all applicants. You know, so I'd like to see it go through committee.
I guess I should respond to that because we did have an evaluation of, and we all looked at all of the applications.
How much time did that take?
Not very long. Actually, it was very rapid because we went through a bunch of them, and we wanted all of the board members to see everything because we didn't want to restrict them from seeing certain things. And it's amazing. You all come to a certain view that you'd be looking at it, but the whole thing was to keep it very open to all of the board members, and there was an evaluation tool and that we had in place that worked well also.
Yeah.
And you haven't been through the process to know this, but I should pull that out of the files.
So could we move it through the personnel committee still?
Not with every board member being a part of it. You can't put it through the personnel committee. It has to be like a special meeting, closed session meeting. And that's how we did it. That it worked well. I felt it worked well that way. And it kept everybody in the loop, and you didn't feel like maybe that you didn't see everything that you should have.
Well, Director Dahl, how do you feel about it?
Well, one of the things that we went to the next
Let's use example, and
I don't.
Well, it was like if you had 16 and you numbered them 1 through 16 of how you felt, and it was pretty, everybody picked the same 16 or something because you'd get somebody who would apply because they'd been the manager of John's Variety Store.
Trigger words to use in their cover letters.
But, a number of them were easily discarded, and it was like everybody discarded those.
But it's important that in picking the general manager that every board member feels that they have had an equal say in it, so that every board member can get behind the person that's chosen.
Yeah, if you want to continue doing it that way, then.
Pamela, do you still have the form that was...
I think I do. I'll have to dig a little bit, but I think I have all of that.
Maybe if she had that, she could give it to you.
We have that too.
Yes. And do you think those questions, any of them will change?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. For the same reason you're speaking out, I'd say the same. It is going to change.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So just so long as we have a strong policy in place and we have consistency, mm-hmm. and we don't make costly mistakes anymore. I mean, which is really the luck of the draw, but, you know.
You can only do the best you can.
Right. So I'm fine with it coming, not going through the personnel committee, even though if we're following mm-hmm. policies and procedures, it would mm-hmm. be going through personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that can be reflected in the minutes, that this time it won't be going through the personnel committee.
But it,
because that is the agreement for policies and procedures.
Yeah, and what what could be done if it is you could look, you know, personnel could look at the process that the
personnel
board wants
doesn't
to.
Need, like, they're not searching for something to do, I don't think.
No.
That?
No.
Okay. I mean, I think we've got a pretty full plate.
We'll get the information and let you see that, what we had used before, so you can see it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
A lot of time for everybody.
Yeah.
Mary, is your session? Alex, you want to take us into this? Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. We're on the discussion of the same topic?
No.
You were going to...
I thought they decided what they wanted to do.
Did you confirm the dates for us?
Yeah.
There is a schedule of dates for everybody meeting together. And
for goals?
No.
No, she's talking about
manager selection.
Your memo.
We didn't talk about no dates.
Date of January
4th. It's going to magically happen. We didn't talk about dates.
In this memo, there are dates, is what she
First date is February 9th.
Right. That's why I made the February calendar, so that we can see more clearly what's going on here.
And you need to set a time. We recommended a date, not a time. And then the other dates of February 26th and 27th were based on, again, a time period to go by, notify candidates that are selected so that they can adjust their schedule. Again, no times were set for those two dates either. So you need to confirm that those dates are good for you and also that you would have a time when you would like to meet during those days.
I can do those dates. So those dates are okay?
No, I won't be in town the 9th.
You'll be in San Francisco training?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
On what date, Mary? I'm sorry.
The 9th.
What about after the fire committee meeting on the 10th?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
We'll go through really speedily, maybe. I don't know. As best we can.
Yeah, I don't want to hold it up. It's just that.
So say 7:30?
Yeah.
On the 10th?
Unless you can start the fire committee at 6.
At 6, that would give us a little bit more time. We could do that. Yeah. So fire committee, we'd do the 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock would be the special meeting.
On the 10th?
On the 10th.
Okay.
Tuesday the 10th at 7, that would really be okay.
Do I have to go to the public with that?
I think I'm on that training on the 20th to the 23rd.
This would be a closed session schedule, so mm-hmm. I think we can. The second item is a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 64957.6 to meet and confer with the district's designated representative regarding the compensation paid to its represented employees. The district's designated representative is Kevin Walsh. And the third item is a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee. The position under consideration is the interim general manager.
Okay. Do we want to stay in here in the girls' your office or out there? Is that open for them?
Just adjourn?
To close session.
To close session.
Back in open session, Alex.
Yes, Madam President, members of the board, members of the public. With regard to closed session item 10A, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B, to meet with district's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, the matter being Bookout versus State of California, San Luis Obispo County Superior Court case number CV060384. The board met in closed session with district legal counsel and received the report. No action was taken. With regard to item 10B, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 64957.6, to meet and confer with the district's designated representative regarding the compensation paid to its represented employees, and the district's designated representative being Kevin Walsh. The board met in closed session with Mr. Walsh to discuss the matter. No action was taken. With regard to item 10C, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee, the position under consideration being interim general manager, the board met in closed session and approved a employment agreement.
And Jim will take the sanitation district when it comes their time. So, Jim.
I attended the South County Sanitation District meeting on Wednesday, January 7th. The significant issues there were update on the digester work that's gone on there. That's moving along, and the digester should be in service as of today or the end of this month at the latest, after startup testing and so forth. But that work is just about complete as of the last meeting. We approved purchase of a radiator for the case front end loader that's used on the site there due to the old radiator failing. We approved a master services agreement with Kennedy Jenks Construction, Kennedy Jenks Engineering, for on-call engineering services, as they are the original designer of the plant facility. That board also approved the nomination of David Brooks for LAFCO, as we did here tonight. There was some concern that the Water Quality Control Board may issue an enforcement policy that would fine organizations such as the Sanitation District for chemicals and things that pass through the plant, such as a few years ago we had an issue with DDT that had been found its way into the sanitary sewer system somehow. And the district, due to the one-time nature of that, was not fined. However, if that happens again under this proposed enforcement policy, the district could conceivably be fined. It would seem to me that that is poor public policy. I would hope that something that happens, that the district is a no participant and just effectively a victim of someone putting chemicals such as DDT in the sewer, that would result in a fine that's going to increase rates and have financial impact on all of us in this district. I don't believe that that's fair, and I would again urge.
Thank you. Director Dahl?
The Airport Land Use Commission did not hold a December meeting, and the OOC had been canceled, so I have nothing to report.
Director Dean?
I attended the fire committee meeting last night. Many of the items that we discussed have already been discussed and on this agenda, but I'll speak to the other issues. One of the issues that Captain Bova brought before the fire committee was pursuing perhaps a grant for a Type 1 fire engine. And that particular engine, the grant cost would be about $180,000 for our participation. He figured that you could get a grant for $250,000, $180,000 from our, as part of our participation, would be $430,000. We checked with our reserves for the fire engine and found out that we only have about $75,000 in our reserves for the fire engine, so we decided we will not pursue that. The other area of new business was hiring reserve staffing, and this is a part of all of the fire departments, and they're looking at hiring an additional 8 people. The cost to do this is medical exam, and there is a cost of training for new people. That's 6 hours a week. So per year, the cost for a firefighter reserve would be $1,260. They're looking at hiring 8 people. We'll evaluate that and add more later, but they feel that it would be an asset. It would not be a cost to the district or any of the other fire departments. It's an asset to us, and we are budgeted for 22 reserve officers, or reserve firefighters. The alley signs are, half of those signs are up. They're 29 in the ground, and they've had one sign tagged, and they haven't been able to get the paint off. They've sold the Suburban. It is now in Canada, and that will be $8,000 coming into our reserves, coming back to us.
The only concern we had with that would be that the signs also, they have decals on them that are stickers, and it may take that off as well. So, because it's a pretty harsh chemical. It's like a brake cleaner or a carburetor cleaner. So it would definitely take the stickers off as well.
I'm sorry, is this to take off graffiti?
Yes.
Because the water department has material they use all the time for it.
Okay. Well, maybe we can hook up with Phil then and take a look at it.
Okay. So, has anybody abided by these signs?
Your microphone's not on. Sure.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Do people abide by the signs in the alleys? They don't my alley.
Slowly but surely, we are getting more and more people to follow the law. And we have talked to quite a few of the new... They've just got a group of new CHP officers in the area, and they're more than willing to sight and tow. So if you give them a call, if you see one in the alley and you can't find the owner, you probably give the CHP a call, and they'll come down and have it towed.
Okay.
But the alley has to be marked. It can't be just one that we haven't marked yet.
Well, what about couches? Do they get fined too?
I don't know. It'd be a county issue.
Director Lucy, did you have anything?
No.
Okay, the only thing I wanted to mention was that on Saturday, the South County Historical Society has a display and program on Oceana.
Here, hold it up for the camera.
Well, this is talking about the dunes, but...
That's the exhibit, that's the story on it.
Mm-hmm. Linda Guyton was mentioning that when you walk in, it's like you're in the depot, or in the warehouse. And it's supposed to be pretty fabulous. display, and would certainly encourage everyone to go see.
And don't we have Norm Hammond doing a reading?
That I don't know.
It's on the bottom of that same exhibit.
Certainly invite everybody to attend that. General manager's item for discussion?
I have none.
Board member items for discussion. Start with you, Mary.
No, not tonight. I'll save it for the next meeting.
Vern?
Nothing.
Jim?
Nothing.
Nothing. And I already gave my little spiel. Consideration of warrants.
Staff apologizes for not getting them to you earlier.
We understand, staff.
We appreciate that staff has got them to us as they have.
Staff and or the board and the vendors will be very happy.
And I do have a correction, apparently, to one warrant, because I believe I paid one director for a meeting that she was unable to attend. And please take it out on your next one.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. With that, I'll move approval of the warrants.
Okay. All those in favor of paying the bills?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Last public comment of the evening. Public comment? Okay. Any written communications that was received after the agenda was prepared?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin doesn't know about this, but I was excited. This is from U.S. Bank. We're returning the item described above, which is the 1967 Sewer Revenue Bond Series A. Having previously been matured, it has no monetary value.
Okay. We're going to frame that and hang it up?
Absolutely. We have the other two framed.
I've done this work for 25 years, and I've never seen that happen. Actually get one of the bonds back.
A bond be retired.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
And how long was that in operation?
Okay. July 20th, 1968, and it was signed by Rose Kaufman, the mother of one of our original directors on the board.
1968.
So maybe we could send them a colored copy of it.
With that, the meeting is adjourned.